Hunter Goodwin wears lots of hats, among them chairman of the Bryan College Station Convention and Visitors Bureau, and he's kind enough to join us this morning. Pretty big announcement yesterday that I guess they'll put pieces in place to raise the hot tax by 0.75% in Austin, and that'll give us a chance to have the cities contribute and the county for Kyle Field. Tell me, from the standpoint first, Convention and Visitors Bureau, what does this mean?
Well, Scott, you know, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, really one of the duties, I think, and responsibilities that we believe as a board is to help in destination asset development. And when we looked at our marketplace, the reality that clearly came through was we don't have a shortage of destination assets that are viable that we can utilize to make an impact and recruit tourists to come here, enhance that. The problem is all those assets, the majority of them reside on Texas A&M's campus. And if you begin to dig deeper, the reality was there was a high underutilization rate of the majority of those facilities, and they were extremely expensive. Cost prohibitive is probably the best word from an accessibility standpoint. Some specific examples, if you think, let's just look at the metrics of a stadium. We're about to renovate a stadium at $500 million to utilize, in most years, 6 to 7 times out of a 365 calendar year. And that same scenario plays out, Scott, in a litany of buildings. If you look at Reed Arena and its use on a 365-day calendar year, you'd be shocked at how little it's utilized. That carries forward into the MSC, that carries into the Rudder Tower, that carries into the Zone. There is really, really, really low utilization rates. And I think often people tend to forget, it's almost like because it's a state university, they get a hall pass. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I think a university is ultimately taxpayer dollars is who is paying for it. I mean, ultimately, it's a funded through the Texas legislature. It's paid for by taxpayers, and it was just horribly ineffective and inefficient, in our opinion, to have these buildings that cost $30 million, $60 million, $100 million to sit underutilized. They're sitting vacant 250 days, 350 days of a calendar year, and we just felt like if we could come up with some sort of a funding program and commitment that would make those available to us, even on a limited basis, it was very effective, very efficient, and could make a massive impact from a tourism standpoint.
You know, from the standpoint of what we see the softball tournaments or the Little League tournaments or whatever they happen to be here, but there are a lot of conventions that either come here or don't come here that are not noticed by the general public. And while you mentioned Reed or the Zone, I mean, they're just buildings that have meeting space that could be utilized that might cause us to get some conventions that we haven't been able to get here before.
Scott, exactly. I mean, well said. I think one of the things that's been almost comical to some degree is when we would sit in meetings and debate and discuss varying buildings on campus, almost every single building on campus has meeting space. Some of them, shockingly, substantial meeting space. And the utilization in some of those buildings is literally 2 to 3 days a year. And, nobody really understands the amount of total space that's there. There's never been a true inventory assessment. It's very fragmented. It's hard to figure out who runs what, when, where, and how to contact. It's like trying to take a bite out of a 900-pound elephant. And so, you know, we hope that through a honey, you know, not a stick, that we're able to alter some behavior. And I think you're already kind of seeing a culture change at A&M with some outsourcing. And it's not just at A&M. Right, wrong, or different, I think all publicly funded institutions are going to have to start thinking a little bit differently in order to survive, because I think the funding commitment for Texas higher education, period, is not on an upward trend. It's on a downward trend, and it's forcing them to think a little differently. And I think just breaking down those barriers of this attitude, it's my sandcastle and no one's going to step into it, we hope that this will begin to open that up. And You know, Scott, there's so many meetings and groups that can make an economic impact locally, but at the same time, they can have a massive impact for the higher, you know, for Texas A&M, the institution. Mm-hmm. One in specific is Texas 4-H. Mm-hmm. Texas 4-H has an annual event called 4-H Roundup that had been held here for 65 years, and it's probably one that you as a citizen never noticed. It just kind of came here every year, and we took it for granted. And last year, we lost that event to Texas Tech mm-hmm. for a litany of different reasons. But we fought really hard this year to bring that event back. It has 4,000 qualified students. You have to basically hit certain metrics to qualify to come to that event. That's not counting exhibitors, teachers, parents, grandparents that attend. Just 4,000 students, and you're taking all of these students are from Texas. Most of them are high academic achievers, and they come from rural parts of Texas. You're getting them on A&M's campus for 4.5 to 5 days to touch it, to feel it, to walk around, to understand the brand, to see what we have to sell, and at the same time making a massive economic impact with that length of stay. And it's a check-in on a Sunday, check-out on a Friday. It's midweek in the summer when that's a historically dead time. That event is going to be successful because of a program like this and providing access to facilities on campus, which that's the only place that would have enough facilities and the right type, the diverse mix required to deliver on a group like that. So I think the point that I'd like the community to understand is there are a lot of groups out there above and beyond the market segment of just sports that are going to have a huge tie-in to the institution and allow them to, you know, sell the brand when they're here. There's no better thing to sell Texas A&M and the school and our community than to be here to experience it firsthand.
Hunter Goodwin joining us. He's the chairman of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I guess it's been mentioned, but we do need to make sure people understand that unless you're a local person staying in a hotel, this is really money that's going to be raised to help Kyle Field's redevelopment from people who don't live in this area.
Yeah, Scott, and you know, I've kind of listened to some of the debate here today, and I tried to read up this morning when I got up early on some of the comments, and you know, I think anytime I've just resonated with this fact, anytime there's change, you're going to open yourself up for criticism, and I think ultimately I expect that, so I'm fine with it. But what I will say is, I applaud the leadership personally. I think this is an innovative decision, and to put it in context, in 2009, the hotel community was actually not even engaged. At that point, there was different City of College Station leadership, but they went to the state legislature in 2009 and attempted to push through a 2% tax increase on hotels. We found out about it and objected and actually went through I don't want to use the word battle because that's a little bit exaggerated, but went through a tumultuous negotiation to bring that percentage down to 0.75%. The reason that we did that at that point was to be strategic and make sure that our total effective tax rate on hotel room nights was strategically better than or below some other cities in Texas. If you look at Houston down the road, much has been made, well, this is unfair, you know, you're unwofully taxing visitors. In Houston, if you stay in the greater Houston area, you are paying a 17% hotel tax. Yeah. 6% to the state, 7% to the city, 2% to the county, and then they have a 2% sports authority tax, mm-hmm. which has been dedicated to paying for Reliant Stadium. Mm-hmm. So we are below San Antonio, we are below Houston, we were at or equal to Dallas, so it's not true. It's just simply not true to say that we have this exorbitant, ridiculous tax rate here in College Station that's different. I've seen some say, well, I'll never stay in a hotel again because they're being abusive. Well, then you can't stay in one in Dallas. You can't stay in one in San Antonio. You can't stay in one in Fort Worth. You can't stay in one in Houston either. So you better not stay in a hotel. We wanted to be very strategic in making sure that the increase to the tax rate was absorbable, if that's the right word, and done within reason, to allow our effective net rate to be still below some of our comp set cities. And we feel like that what we did as hoteliers, and I applaud them because it was something that they had to agree to, is made a marginal increase, which is not that significant, 0.75%, but I think the impact that it's going to enable the community to have, just looking, Scott, at the direct impact of Kyle Field being shut down for a period of two seasons and games not being played here, whether you agree with games, don't agree with games, like football, don't like football, it would have affected you, end of story, because of the taxes that are generated by all those people coming here. There would have been a huge loss, and there's a specific number you can look at on the loss of tax revenue that would have affected and flowed through to every single homeowner in Brazos County. And so I think when you look at what's been protected by preserving them from leaving, as well as the future of what these new facilities having access to them will enable our community to do, if it all works, there should be a reduction. As sales tax increases and feeding the general funds of our two respective cities, the burden of property tax should be reduced. And in theory, it should help save money to every single homeowner in this town. And we felt like that made logical sense, practical sense, and as a homeowner, it makes personal sense.
Devils are in the details, that's for sure. We'll hope that all that can get ironed out. Obviously, there's some logistical things, but yeah, I do tend to agree with you. The fact that we'll be able to have enhanced facilities to present to all sorts of organizations gives us a chance to have people here. It's not about Kyle Field from that standpoint. It's the standpoint of people coming here for other reasons as well that can mean good things for us.
It's a great point, Scott. And when you talk to the community, there are a lot of different diverse groups. There's a arts community here. There's a lot of meetings and exhibits. And when you just have one of the things, and it's not my word, it was brought up consistently in our strategic planning meetings at the CVB, there is intellectual capital that resides at A&M. Some of the brightest minds in respective industries, nuclear science, engineering, and these people have such a impact globally that they can draw crowds, an international crowd, to come listen to them speak on different topics. And we've really never leveraged that because even within the institution right now, it is cost prohibitive for a current professor who's doing research maybe on how to solve the next issue on cancer. It is cost prohibitive for a guy like that to put on an event where he could talk about his latest invention or his latest research. And we hope that this will allow for the application to go into a myriad of different market segments. It'll not just impact sports. We hope it'll impact association business, all different types of research, and provide for different reasons for people to bring tourists here.
Hunter Goodwin is the chairman of the Bryan-College Station Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thanks for the time this morning, Hunter.